Hello, my name is Peter McDonald.
Hi, my name is Janice Choice.
Is what?
Hi, I'm Madeline.
Okay, I'm Marjorie Smith. I got here Tuesday from Brentwood. And I guess that's it for now, huh?
Welcome to the Buckingham Podcast.
Thank you. I still want those Tylenol. I guess I'm not going to get them, huh?
Our topic for today is neighborhoods. Does anybody have anything to say about neighborhoods?
Yeah, we spoke about neighborhoods before, I know. But, I'm from New York, Manhattan. And I know what things that people say about New York and this and this and that.
It's not true.
But I feel like I was really lucky to grow up in Manhattan.
You were.
Had a wonderful neighborhood, and I mean neighborhood. Everybody knew everybody else, that old cliche or whatever. And, people used to leave their doors open and borrow butter or sugar or flour from their other neighbor and whatnot. And there were loads and loads of kids in my apartment building alone. We lived in a four-story tenement? And there was like 60-some kids in that, just in my building alone. And going up and down the block, there were hundreds of kids. Although you didn't hang around all those hundreds, you had a certain group out of the 100 that you hung around with. There was down the street, there was the middle of the street, and there was up the street. And they all had their own crowd in the street to hang around with. And you had teams, and you went to the same schools, and all of that. And you never felt threatened by things. You never felt worried about getting beat up or mugged or whatever. It was a wonderful, wonderful neighborhood. But that's all I have to say for now.
Well, that was part of the time, too,
yeah.
Peter.
Yeah,
so sure. Even if you didn't live in New York, I mean, I originally came from the Bronx, but it was the same thing. It was a happy, comfortable, peaceful place to live. And everybody helped everybody. Everyone knew everyone.
Yeah.
There were maybe not a lot of kids on my block, but there were enough to be friends with. And you could ride your bike on the street. There wasn't as much traffic, so you could easily ride your bike on the street or go roller skating also in the street. So some of these things are unheard of now. You just can't. But again, it's the time that we grew up in, and it was a good time and a happy time. I think it gave all of us wonderful memories.
The roller skating was wonderful. I remember the roller, just thought of it. The roller skating, the bikes, we didn't have bikes, nobody got bikes, except one girl who lived across the street. She had infantile paralysis or polio, and she had that iron brace or steel brace on her leg. And she got a bike and was taught how to ride the bike. It was a Schwinn, it was blue and white. But we built scooters, we built wooden scooters ourselves. We used to use the skates, our roller skates, and nail them on a 2x4. half of one skate. Was it half of one skate? Half of the other skate? I forget exactly.
And you had your scooter.
But we nailed the skates on the bottom, and they were the wheels for your scooter. And on top of that, the 2x4, I guess it was hopefully a milk crate. A milk crate, and used to use
that.
Oh,
so you could have a bar to hold on to.
That's right.
The precursor to the skateboard.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And you, sometimes you painted it with skulls and crossbones, you know, like you're going to scare somebody.
I grew up in the city of Newark.
Newark.
People hear that, and they cringe. It was a neighborhood just like every other. I walked to school. I walked a mile across town to school every day, back and forth. Picked up people on the way. So I started out as one, picked up one at the corner, picked up two in the middle of the block and kept on going.
Why wouldn't you walk to school, is there?
Pardon?
Why wouldn't you walk to school?
Why wouldn't I? I did every day.
No, but you said people...
They cringe. They think growing up in the city is a bad thing.
Oh, okay, yeah.
But it wasn't. It wasn't. No. It may be tougher. I liked growing up in the city.
Yeah, it was wonderful.
What school in North did you go to?
And it was a neighborhood just like any other.
Jen?
Jersey was always a faraway place. Jersey was the country. That's what it was, yeah. And somebody used to go to the country every once in a while. I mean, across the bridge. And they went down to Bayonne or some freaking place. I don't know. But it was the country. And you were considered lucky to get out to the country, even though it was maybe not so great a place. Amboy, I knew somebody used to go to Amboy one time. I thought they were going to paradise. Yeah.
We used to go to the movies at the Amboy Theater.
Is that right? Yeah.
Take the ride down there.
The Amboy Dukes. Remember the Amboy Dukes?
Yes, I do.
Yeah, what's that guy that used to write the books?
Carolyn has something to say.
Oh, I'm
Marjorie.
Sorry.
Marjorie.
No, I grew up in Westwood, not too far from here, I guess. We moved after my junior year in high school, but that was a neighborhood too. You know, everybody knew each other, and you didn't dare do anything wrong because there'd be somebody, some other parent that would be there that would tell your mother what you did. So you always behaved because that threat was there.
Mm-hmm.
And most of the kids in the neighborhood went to the Catholic school. But I made enough friends at school that it didn't make any difference. And it was a nice place. There was an ice cream shop. So that was always nice.
My daughter lives in Westwood now.
Oh, I'll have to talk to you later. I hope it's still a nice town. Then we moved to Pennsylvania, outside Philadelphia, and I took a school bus for the first time in my life because the school was 4 miles away. I had always walked to school. And that was really country, and there were a whole lot of dairy farms around.
This is true.
So, you know, it was an entirely different environment, you know. And kids had their own cows by name and all that stuff. And that was that. Then after Pennsylvania, I graduated from high school there and I went to college there. So that was my whole childhood. And you know, neighborhoods are neighborhoods. We all played the same games. The other day over at Brentwood, we were talking about childhood games. And Ringolivio, does anybody remember that?
Oh, yeah.
I just remember the name. I actually don't know what
we
were talking
about.
That's
a game?
Two
teams.
Yeah.
Ringolivio.
Well, what was it, Marjorie? I remember the name. I just don't remember what it was exactly.
Yeah.
What was it?
Tell us the game.
Two teams, as I remember. One chased the other. And then...
you put them in jail, I think.
Yeah. And then somebody... If you were the team that wasn't in jail, or even the team that was in jail, there was something you could do to get the people out of jail.
So it's kind of like freeze tag, almost.
It was what?
It's like a big game of tag with teams.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Only you had teams, you know, and all that stuff.
So one team is it.
Hmm?
Like one team is it. Like one team is trying to catch the other one.
Right, that was it.
You can't, no, both teams are catching each other.
Yeah. So that was, we always had pets. Some my brother would bring home, rabbits and things like that. But we usually had dogs. And, you know, that was a good learning experience. And the dogs are part of the family.
They become part of the family. They
sure,
do.
That was it. So,
sorry.
And my grandmother lived with us most of the time. So,
I remember looking up at the skies. And there was always flocks and flocks of pigeons that guys were flying. They'd be flying them down you know, maybe 100th Street or 90-something Street, and they'd fly up in your area, they'd fly over. A lot of guys had pigeons, and also...
On the rooftop?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And a lot of guys had, a lot of people flew kites. I never flew much kite, I think once or so. But they flew kites, and there was a season, whatever season it was, for everything. There was a season for marbles, season for yo-yos, a season for tops, a season for, what else do we have? Well, like we said, for the scooters, and there was a roller skating season, and there was a season, just a season for everything. And comic books were a big thing.
Oh, they were.
They were.
I can remember
doing
that. Yeah, going to the candy store, the local candy store, and getting that 5 cents chocolate soda or vanilla soda.
Yeah.
If you were really lucky, which I never was, you could afford to get a malted. But that was a quarter.
Yeah.
So that
and
was
Saturday afternoon movies.
Yeah. And
Saturday.
Yeah, well, you saw two movies.
Yeah.
Plus the news. And you could stay and watch it again if you wanted.
And there was usually the cliffhanger with the Westerns.
Uh-huh.
You know, somebody was going to die or do something.
The Perils of Pauline.
It's funny that you bring up the pigeons, how people owned pigeons. Because some family just came over from Hungary. Because I have family that lives in Hungary, and they came to see my mom. They were talking about my grandfather. And my grandfather owned pigeons. He owned a lot of pigeons. So one day, my mom was very sick. Like they were scared, like she might have like passed away or something because of how sick she was. And you know, it's Hungary, and it's I don't know what time this is, like the '70s, I guess. And they lived in the country, so there's no like really hospitals around. And it's like a communist country at this point. But anyway, my grandfather had a pigeon coop, and. She said that she saw him walking in the backyard, going into the pigeon coop, and he just picked up a fat pigeon, and she didn't know what he did with it, but he turned around and he just twisted off its head, and made a soup out of it for her, like a fresh pigeon soup, and she said she felt better after that, and she said she didn't realize till like years later like where the soup had come from, and then she put two and two together, and like. She just ate a pigeon.
But
so,
pigeon pie is big in places.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
I never heard of that.
Well, the first time I had it was the country of Morocco.
You've
and
been
it
to
was
Morocco?
A delicacy.
And how was it? Did you like it?
Hmm?
What does it taste like? Anything that you ever had before?
It had a chicken flavor, but no, it had a very distinct. At the time, I mean, we knew we were eating pigeon pie because they told us. But it had more of a gamey taste than I thought it would. So that rooftop, well, probably they weren't eating people's pets, you know. It was a regular pie, a crust on the bottom, the pigeon, and a crust on top.
I've never heard of that. I've never heard of a pigeon pie. Have you heard of that?
I did. I heard of it. I never had it. Nor did I have pigeon soup either. But I've heard of the pigeon pie. I have heard of that.
And it's fresh too. Imagine that. Like you just killed it right there. Have you guys ever eaten a fresh animal like something like
deer?
It's different.
Deer.
Yeah.
It is different.
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
very different. Like it feels more like
clean.
This is the way. Animal should, because when you buy food at the supermarket, it's been through so much to get there already, and like there's so many like preservatives and stuff like that in it that when you eat like fresh meat, it's just like it's like wow, like there's a big difference, you know.
There is, and yet when I had the venison, I didn't like it. I mean, I ate it because I was invited as company, but. I didn't care for it.
Do you think it was the fact that it was fresh meat, or
no.
or it's just you don't like?
I just
deer,
didn't.
Not
I just didn't care for that.
Mm-hmm.
I just didn't care for it. I didn't like the way it tasted. I ate it, but I would not look to have it again.
You weren't gonna,
But yes, and I don't think it has anything to do with the fact that somebody shot the animal, and
it's just you're not particular to deer.
I don't know. I guess not. I didn't like it.
I mean, deer does taste very different from a lot of other meats. Like, deer does have, like, a different texture.
And probably one thing we had in Manhattan would be difficult were gardens. Everybody had their own garden. So in the summer, everybody had the fresh everything.
True.
Not too many people grew corn because it took up space. But Paramus was all
really
crook farms then.
Garden State.
Garden State.
That's where the name comes from.
So you could always go to Paramus and get fresh corn or whatever you wanted.
What were you trying to say, Janice?
I can't.
What were you trying to say?
My husband, just as a lark, grew a plant of corn in the backyard in Newark. And we have a picture of my son at the time, little Todd, pointing out that the corn ear had grown that much. He's a little kid, bending over a little plant and pointing out how big the corn is. So we had corn growing in Newark.
Yeah.
That's the Garden State.
Yeah.
We spent a lot of time on the roofs, and the reason we were up there was to get the balls that were from the guys. When the big guys were playing stickball, they'd play money down there, and the balls used to
get. Oh, they hit them up on the roof.
Yeah.
And you had to get them.
Oh yeah, we'd get them, but they'd pay us to get them back. You know, not full price. You know, a dime or whatever.
Yeah.
The balls at the time were a quarter, Spalding's, and they used to get the balls and return them to the guys. And we used to go up there and hang around for that, and we used to go up there and we used to buy things in the deli. And it was, for some reason, it was like a treat buying this stuff in the deli. Like I told you, I think once before, you could go into the deli, buy 10 cents worth of liverwurst and 5-10 cents worth of bologna or cheese or this, and 5-10 cents worth of potato salad. You get on a big hero, have it cut up, you know, into how many pieces, and take it up on the roof, and you really thought you were living, you know, when you were a kid. You really thought you were living up there.
Well, that reminds me about the, my mother used to go to the butcher shop almost every day.
Yeah.
And she would buy whatever we were going to be having that night. And the one thing I loved about going with her was that the butcher always gave me a free piece of bologna.
Yeah.
Yes.
And
right.
That was our such a treat.
Too.
And it was delicious, too.
It was. It was. And you just walked up the block. Everything was nearby. You had a butcher shop. And the other thing we always had was a regular drugstore, where you knew the pharmacist.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I did tell this story, I think, before. But one day during the summer, I ran into the house to get my mother's purse for her, and I put my hand right through the glass.
Oh, dear.
And I cut the wrist, and I was bleeding badly. And the one car in the family was with my dad, who had driven to work. So my mother carried me to the drugstore because the pharmacist was able to clean it up and properly care for it. And you know, pharmacists were almost like doctors. They could take care of you as well.
Yeah.
We couldn't get to the doctor that day. But he took care of the wrist, and it was fine. But they've gone by the wayside, the pharmacist, the local druggist. So all these things are things that I think people must miss. Some people must miss them. I think that's why a lot of people move into towns where they are small, home-like.
In neighborhoods.
Yeah, and everything is in the neighborhood that they want. I remember when my husband and I bought our first home, we moved into a neighborhood where everything you could walk to. And then years later, that changed. The drugstore was gone, the liquor store was gone, everything was gone and replaced with other things. So
TD Banks and CBS.
Exactly.
The things that go first are the things that you need most, like a hardware store.
Yeah.
And, 5 and 10.
Yeah, that's right.
And when you're talking about seasons, roller skating was all year, it seemed. That didn't have a season.
No, because you could roller skate indoors. And they had the roller skating rinks, so.
Oh, we didn't have those. We were strictly on the street.
Okay, well, I mostly did on the street too, but
yeah,
we could go to roller skating rinks. That was available, so you could go at different times of
the
year.
Yeah, I don't. We didn't roller skate in wintertime.
Well, you were a boy. You did different things. My brother used to go fishing at some stream. And then my mother would buy fish because he was so proud that he was supplying the dinner. And I don't know if well, of course, he'd figured it out by the time I got older that we were not eating what he caught. Maybe a little of it, but mostly what my mother bought from the fish store.
Yes.
Did you guys have frozen lakes that you ice skated on?
Hmm?
Frozen lakes that you ice skated on?
No? What?
Frozen lakes.
Yeah, and we'd go ice skating on those.
Yeah.
Woodcliff Lake had some good lakes. But, yeah, Westwood did too. There was Bogart's Pond, I remember. It was at the end of Mill Street. And we always ice skate there.
In New York, you could go to Woolman's Rink in Central Park and ice skate. You'd also go to Rockefeller Center, but I don't know anybody ever went over there.
Did you ice skate?
I could ice skate, yeah.
Yeah, I did too. Every Friday night, we had the rink in Branch Brook Park. And every Friday night, I'd go ice skating.
You know, Marjorie, you were talking about the fishing. My dad loved to go fishing, and he had a small outboard motor. And on the weekends, if the weather was decent, he would go rent a rowboat and go fishing. And he would take me with him. And I loved to do that. I would bait the hook myself, put the worm on the hook, and he showed me how to manage the rod, and I would catch fish. It was always flounder. That's what, well, at least when I was with him, he would go fishing for deep sea fishing, but I only went with him for the flounder fishing. And we would bring that home, and he and my mother would clean the fish, and we would eat that fish.
That was dinner.
It was good.
Oh, it was wonderful.
So you talk about something fresh, that really was fresh.
Yeah.
But then I liked the flounder too. So, but that was always a great experience, just going out there and waiting for a fish on the hook. And then you feel it, you know? You know you got a fish there, and you reel it in.
Yeah, as my brother got older, he would do that. Go someplace, I don't know where.
And I thought that was such a fun thing.
One time, me and my whole family went fishing in the ocean. We rented, like, a boat, like, those small, like, motorboats. And no one caught a fish. There was, like, 8 of us, maybe. No one caught a fish the whole day. Like, we could not catch one single fish. And all of a sudden, my sister, she catches a massive flounder out of nowhere. Like, we're not getting anything, like, even small fish. And she just catches this huge fish. Only one who caught a fish the whole day, and it's just this massive fish. And everyone kept calling her the hooker of the day. And they didn't stop, and she started crying. She threw the fish back. She got so upset. Everyone kept calling her the hooker of the day. So she did the best thing the whole day, and she just felt horrible about it. That was so stupid. Like, that's what they were calling her. I didn't even know what it meant at the time. I was like, and I know that they got a kick out of it, but
The connotation.
Yeah, yeah. And I'm sure she didn't understand either, but I guess she knew, like, by the way they're saying it and giving it, like, there has to be something negative being called that.
I think I mentioned to you one time where that expression hooker came from.
I think I don't remember, but I did talk about
it. Well, tell it again, because I don't remember.
It came from during the Civil War, we had massive amounts of Northern troops in Washington. We had them there because of the Civil War in the South, you know. And you had all these troops up there. They were rowdy. They were breaking everything up. They were drunken. They were, you know. So this that was going on and on. And they got a new general. His name was Hooker. So what Hooker did was he said, I got to have some entertainment for these guys. They're breaking the place up. They're going crazy on here. So he says, I'll get some women. I'll get women. And I'll bring the women down here, and that'll keep the men occupied. So he went out, and he went out up to wherever at Baltimore. There was a lot from Baltimore, I heard that. And he got all these women, they call them hookers. That's where it came
hookers
from.
Women.
Hookers women. They weren't all for Hooker, though.
that
Joe Hookers.
That's really interesting.
Now,
I've
that,
never heard of that.
And it
no,
did keep the
that.
Men occupied, huh?
Yeah.
I guess so.
The was he Northern General or something?
He was a Northern General. He was a general a little bit after the Civil War. He was involved with chasing Apaches, putting the Apaches down. Joe Hooker, yeah.
Well, that's a story I will always remember now.
Where it came from.
Yeah.
I used to wonder where it came from.
Yeah, because
from.
That's such a strange term. Like, why would you...
Hooker, yeah.
Why would you say that?
What I used to think was, well, the ladies used to stand on the doorways or something.
And hook people in?
Grab them with a hook.
Yeah, yeah. That's what I was... I thought
yeah,
that
would
be hooked up.
Yeah.
You know.
Lure them in.
Huh.
Good story, Pete. Good story.
That's good.
Yeah.
We did we get to everyone where everyone grew up? Jen, did you go?
Can't hear.
Did you go where you grew up?
Did I go?
Oh, yeah, you said Newark.
Oh, yeah.
Newark.
In Newark.
And Madeline, you said...
Yeah, I grew up in the Bronx.
Yeah, you didn't say where
you
grew
up. I was born and raised in the Bronx. We lived in my grandparents' house until I was about 11, and then my parents bought their own home, also in the Bronx, but... where they bought a home was right across from the water. And that's our house overlooked the water. And every morning from my room, I could see the sunrise. And if it was a nice day, the window was open, I could hear the seagulls. And I just loved it. I thought that was the greatest thing.
Now, what water were you overlooking?
The Pelham Bay.
What was it?
Pelham Bay.
Oh, yes, yeah.
So I had the smallest room in the house, and I didn't care.
Yeah.
The other two bedrooms were the bigger bedrooms, but they were in the back of the house. What I cared about was that I had that view, that I could see the water. I could hear those birds in the morning, and I could smell the water, that fresh
That's ideal
water.
In my book.
It was beautiful. I thought it was the greatest thing.
It was.
It was.
Yeah.
And then... we kept that house until my parents moved and bought a home in Rockland County, which is the suburbs. So we left the Bronx for Rockland County. And that's where I ended up getting married, raising my family. And I really was in Rockland County until just 2 years ago when I came here to the Buckingham. So most of my life was spent in Rockland County, which is New York. For all of you who come from New Jersey, you may not be familiar with Rockland County.
Oh, yeah, that's where the rest of my family lives.
Oh,
Pearl
do they?
River.
Okay, yes, then you do know. Then you do know.
They used to, Nyack, that's in Rockland County.
Yes,
right?
Yes, it is. That's by the water also.
When we were kids, I wasn't in the Boy Scouts, but the Boy Scouts that were around in the neighborhood, they used to go to a Boy Scout camp in Nyack. They had a Boy Scout camp. And they always used to be talking about Nyack, this Boy Scout camp. So I don't know if it's gone. I guess it's gone. I have no idea.
The camp, you mean?
The camp.
Yeah, I don't know.
Probably a housing development.
Well, Nyack is a nice place to live. I told this story also before, so I apologize if you heard it before. When my daughter graduated high school, I'm sorry, when my daughter graduated college, she wanted to move out and get her own place. So she started looking for apartments, and she ended up in Nyack. Now, I was really upset that she was moving out on her own, and I was worried about her. So my son said to me, well, Mom, if you're worried, you can call the local police department and just ask them if there's a lot of police activity in on that block or in that area.
Yeah.
And you'll get a sense of how safe it is for her. So I did that, and the answer I got from the police department was, they don't have any activity, very little, on her block in that general vicinity, but lots in other parts of the town. So at least that was good news. Her block was safe enough. So I felt comfortable that I had done that. But it was hard to let her go.
What about what you told her right before she left, what to bring with her?
No, that was a different story. The snow shovel was one thing.
Oh, the snow shovel.
Because you're right. I knew she had a parking spot at this apartment building. They gave that as part of the rent. You get one parking spot. She only had a studio apartment, and it was very small, but she was thrilled. She was on her own. She was paying for it. She was happy. But the first snow that came that winter, I knew that she wouldn't be thinking about when she had to go out to her car and get herself shoveled out so she could get to work. Mm-hmm. I knew she wouldn't be thinking about that. So I brought a shovel over and left it by her car, a snow shovel. And I didn't tell her, I just left it there. And the next morning when she came down, because we were expecting the snow, she came out and she found the snow shovel. And she couldn't get her car out, so that was a big help to her. And when I spoke to her later that day, she said, Mom, and she tells me the story about finding the snow shovel. And I said, well, Karen, I put it there because I knew what you would do. I knew you'd come down and you're just in Karen land because you're so happy you have your little apartment and you're coming down the steps, you're going out the door, and look how beautiful, it's snowing out. How great is this?
Yeah.
And you're not thinking about what you need to do or what's going to be a problem. So I put the snow shovel there for you. Yeah, that's
the mom.
And that's what moms do, though. Yeah. They do.
The boys in the neighborhood would always go around shoveling sidewalks and everything to earn.
Yeah, that was a good thing.
That when I was young, yeah. Shovel,
that was a good thing.
People's driveways for them.
When I think about the snow, what I think about is those damn boots we used to, the rubbers.
I remember that too.
On.
Your galoshes.
You couldn't get them on, you couldn't get them off, and you had to get them off when you went to school, and put them back on when you were leaving, and then going home and getting them off. Mm-hmm.
What do you wear in school then, after you take them off?
You had shoes that you wore in the galoshes.
Those galoshes just pull on over your shoes. So they keep you dry.
Well, how do you
they're
spell
failing
it?
Yep. Galoshes, I think.
And they were hand-me-downs. I got a lot of hand-me-downs from my brother, ice skates and all that stuff. But the galoshes were hand-me-downs,
They
too.
Didn't wear out, so there was no reason why you couldn't pass
the
it down.
Next kids could wear them, yeah.
Yes.
They had the clips
had
across. They used to button
yep.
and close them.
Yep. And everybody had them.
Yeah.
So I remember school would be a problem because whose galoshes are whose. So you had to put your name in them.
Looking for that, Alex?
Mm-hmm. Oh my God, these
I hated them too. I just hated them because they were annoying, you pointed out, Peter. And I hated the way they looked.
Mm-hmm.
And they were just
horrible.
Yeah, they were just annoying. But if there was a big snow, and there they are.
Yeah.
And if there was a big snow, they did what they had to do.
Yeah.
Oh man. Yeah, I see. So you'd have shoes on with these shoes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
They pulled on over your shoes.
It looked like this. Like kind of like this.
No, you couldn't see through them.
Oh, but
you
like...
You didn't see through them.
But this is like the idea. Is
well,
that like
sort of, except
over...
it was a heavy rubber.
Yeah.
It was a heavy rubber that pulled on over the shoe.
It was a rubber like a backyard pool
That's
float.
Yeah.
Rubber.
All right.
And it would stretch a little bit.
Well, that's definitely waterproof.
I forget that people your age, Alex, would not know about stuff like that.
I mean, I've had snow boots, but like it's just one boot.
Yeah, you That's don't wear different. Anything else.
Mm-hmm.
It is different.
Yeah.
They're modern.
Yeah. Yeah. I had a rubber snow boots. But what's the point of two shoes though? Why didn't they just make regular snow boots like they do today?
Well, we weren't advanced like we are now.
You know.
Yeah. We weren't advanced.
We're talking about the olden days.
And
but
also,
I mean,
there
it
was
seems
a,
harder to
You
make...
know what? There's money limitations, too. I'm sure
yeah.
it was much cheaper to just uh-huh. make a rubber boot that you pull on over your shoe.
I guess so, yeah.
I'm sure it was much cheaper.
That just covered the shoe.
What about the sweaters? With the picture of a deer or a
mm-hmm.
picture of a snow
elk.
Setting on
yep.
there, you know, country.
I like those.
They're still around?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
I wear those during
Everybody
the winter.
Everybody in school had the sweater with the big picture on it and all.
Yeah. Like stripes. And
like
my a
mother
top
would
stripe, maybe like a reindeer or something.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
That's right.
The fisherman knit.
So my brother had all that deer stuff and snow and I don't know what I had, but my mother made the sweaters. She knit them.
That was nice.
Yeah. Then, of course, then there were lots of hand-me-downs to the cousins. But then when, I guess they were, as served their purpose, she would make hook rugs or braided rugs out of the wool.
Hmm.
So. It was and always now if you had them and went in an antique shop, you know, you could probably get a small fortune for them.
I'm sorry, I know I'm still on the galoshes. I'm just fascinated at this.
Are
point.
You?
Yeah.
So, did the shoes come with them? Or?
No, they're just your shoes.
Oh, your regular shoes.
You just have whatever shoes you own.
You got dressed, and then you got.
I'm thinking this is like
shoes.
A set.
No,
like you
has nothing. One has nothing to do with the other.
Okay.
Whatever
okay.
shoes you
then,
owned, you owned.
Right.
These were things, galoshes, rubbers that you pulled
right.
on over your shoes to protect
right.
you from the snow.
Protecting the shoes.
Has nothing
from
to
snow.
Do one with the other.
Yeah.
Okay, I see. That makes a lot more sense, because I'm thinking, why would they make two separate shoes? And then that makes a lot more sense. Okay, I see.
It's so funny to me
that I have just, I'm clueless.
Well, it's because of your age. You're young.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
you and there are many things like that, I'm sure,
mm-hmm.
that if we said, it must be strange to you.
And it's
you're
just
young.
Like amongst you, it's just common knowledge.
It
oh,
is.
Yeah, those are the galoshes.
Yes, exactly.
We lived with them.
Mm-hmm.
You remember how they used to... You used to wait for the snow, and when the first snow came, you'd wonder if there was going to be enough for the sleigh ride, and if you get
yeah,
that
the
sled out.
Yeah.
Closed.
Yeah.
How exciting that
yeah.
was.
Yes.
Wow.
There couldn't be enough, you know? You wanted as much snow as possible.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And then as you get older, you're like, please don't snow. I don't want a shovel. I don't want to shovel. But when I was doing it, I was thinking, is there going to be enough snow so they'll call off school?
Yeah.
Exactly.
That was it. And then the snowball fights, what team
yeah.
they'll be on
yeah.
and all that
yeah.
stuff.
Yeah. yeah.
Down the block.
They got pretty vicious sometimes.
snowball
ice balls, whatever
oh.
they want. And what else do we have? We used to have the blowing the pea shooters.
Oh
yes.
I didn't do that, but
I didn't
pea
do that.
Shooters. Yeah. And what else? There was something else.
Well,
now,
slingshots.
Slingshots.
Right.
Had,
did
yeah.
you guys do that? Did
oh,
you
yeah.
hurt people or get hurt doing that?
Oh, yeah.
What do you put in the, what do you put in the slingshot? Rocks?
Slingshots. We used to use the slingshots with paper clips.
Ooh.
Rubber bands
yeah.
and paper clips.
Ooh.
That's what my brother
My brother got one right
paper.
Up here in the eye. I was with him. I took it out of his eye. Thank God he didn't lose the eye.
They were vicious.
Yeah.
Yeah.
My
it was so dangerous, and you just never realized how.
Sure, you're a kid,
a
you know.
Yeah.
And they used to stand at the top of the barn and jump into the snow.
Yeah.
And the other brother would be sitting on the sideline with a slingshot and try to hit his brother as he jumped. And he used to put paper clips and tacks so that they got hurt.
Yeah.
Sure.
It's amazing how kids have no fear. It's amazing.
There was a truck driver coming by one time with a truck, of course, driving up the block. And I was on my stoop where I lived, and I had a regular pea shooter, you know, thing you put the peas in. So I blew at the guy, and I hit the guy, and the guy stopped that truck, and he chased me. And where did I go? I went right up to the roofs, and I knew I could get away, you know.
How old were you?
Oh, my God, I don't know. I was in grammar school at the time.
So he didn't catch him?
He
didn't catch
him? Oh, no, he couldn't. I knew he wouldn't find me. I was safe up there. But he scared the hell out of me. He would have killed me, that guy. I don't blame him nowadays.
You know?
But it was just something that I just happened to do. You know? Stupid.
Boys will be boys.
Yeah.
It's funny, though. So he's driving.
He was driving a truck up the block, yeah.
And
minding his own
open.
Business.
The windows open, yeah.
But you got to time that. That's quite the timing.
Boy.
Then the boys would all have paper routes delivering the newspapers.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Did you do it thinking, there's no way I'm going to hit him? I never
don't think I was going to hit him, no.
Oh, you planned that you would.
Yeah, I mean, I hope I would, because then it would be a score.
That's
funny.
The guide.
And the shoe shine box.
Mm.
And the papers. The papers... We used to go around to the saloons we used to call them. My mother used to call them saloons, the bars, sell newspapers, give shoe shines.
Yeah, my brother just had a paper route where he delivered them to the houses on his bicycle.
Right.
And there were a few, two or three family houses a block away. And that he liked because it would be one stop and he could deliver lots of newspapers, you know, because there were multi-families living there. Mm-hmm. And we all survived the childhood diseases, mumps, chickenpox, mm-hmm. measles.
You know, in New York, like Halloween, for example, we never had no trick-or-treat. I never heard of it till I got out here. Never heard of Mischief Night till I got out here.
So nothing special went on at Halloween time?
The only thing you did at Halloween was is you got a bag of flour, and you'd go home and, you know, you'd fill up a sock with flour.
Oh.
And then you'd hit somebody with that, and that would leave a white mark on their clothing. That was it.
Huh.
But
I don't even think we did that. We just... dressed in costumes and went around.
Sure,
you didn't dress up?
No,
yeah,
that wasn't. You didn't dress up. No. At Thanksgiving, we used to go around and beg anything for Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
Anything for Thanksgiving.
I didn't do that, but I remember people did it.
Yeah.
I do remember people doing that.
That was good. You used to get stuff. We used to get a little bit of change. One time he gave me a quarter. One guy gave me a quarter. Boy, I almost jumped out of my pants, for God's sakes.
Well, most people just gave candy in a bag. So they put different pieces of candy in a bag.
Yeah, but we'd be on the street. We did it on the street. Right? Just walk along in the street. Somebody's walking on the street here.
But I got a quarter once also.
Yeah.
And I thought, wow.
Yeah,
you said
very,
life.
Enough for a multi.
You very rarely, that's right, you very rarely got money, usually you got candy. So
mm-hmm.
if you got money, and a quarter no less, well, that was big time.
It sure was.
In Newark, they never gave money. There was only one house that gave dimes, Madame de Ritz.
It's funny, everyone knows those houses. Like, every town, like, has, like, that one house that gives, like, a special thing, and everyone knows it.
And when I moved to Bergen County, my mother-in-law always had the bowl of change. And she
bless you.
God bless
thank you.
A handful of change and threw that in the bag.
And then it was way after the war, of course, when UNICEF started. At Halloween, kids would go around with the little containers for UNICEF.
For money, collect money.
Yes. You'd put money in.
Yeah, and then there was a big scandal at the UN that UNICEF money wasn't being used as it was supposed to be used.
Yep, I remember
what
that.
Money is. The March of Dimes, I remember.
Yeah, Jerry Lewis on TV.
Yeah.
That's the worst scam you could possibly do, when you front like it's
used
to help people. Like, if you get scammed, you get scammed. But when you scam in a way that's like, this money's going to be used to help people, and it's not being used that way, that's the worst. Because people, you know,
that's
you feel good about donating charity when you think it's going to help people. When you find out that's not what it's being used for, it's like, wow.
Yeah, that's... It has a name, I forget, but... Because the kids next door got polio. Three of the four of the kids next door had polio.
What is polio?
Infantile paralysis.
And what?
It was wiped out, basically, by the invention of the salt
vaccine. Yeah, in the
60s. And then, as long as people got vaccinated...
What happened to you, though?
You were crippled.
Oh,
you couldn't walk.
You couldn't move your
lungs. No, there was an iron lung.
Yeah.
That the whole body was in this iron lung.
Remember, you used to go to see that in the movies. You used to see the guy on the iron lung that had a big picture of the guy in the iron lung who was asking for donations to the March of Dimes.
You know, FDR had polio.
Yeah.
Yes, I did know
you
that.
You did know that.
I did know that one.
Yeah. So, but that was before the...
That
was before the vaccine.
And they always filmed him, like, when he would speak. They had him, like,
sitting
up, and then, like, it wouldn't show, like... Because apparently, like, if other countries see that the president, like, the most powerful guy is in a wheelchair, then it's, like... So you have to, like... They have to film him a very particular way because of his, like, presentation.
Because the kids next door... Well, two of them were in iron lungs. Third one wasn't. Then they had those crutches, I guess they were new at the time, the metal...
Braces?
Yeah, but then they also had crutches that you still see them. I guess there were four handles, two in the front, two in the back, I don't know. But anyhow...
To support you?
Yeah. And nobody else in the neighborhood got polio, thank goodness. So they had been on vacation to some lakes, so everybody thought that's where they got it. But I don't know if it's airborne. Do you have to catch polio? I mean, it has to start someplace.
Well, it's viral, so it could be in many ways that it could be contracted, I would think.
But it was contagious?
Yeah.
Oh my goodness. That's scary.
Boy, that was a scary, scary thing at the time,
I
remember.
Yeah, that's horrifying.
Yeah.
How my parents used to be afraid of that polio for the kids, you know?
Yeah, all the parents.
That's horrifying.
We were not allowed to go swimming in August because we swam in a glorified mud pool, I think.
Mm.
It was in, it wasn't in Westwood, it was the next town, maybe Emerson, I don't know. But
that's
we were not allowed to go. You could go under the hose and things like that, but you weren't allowed to go in the water.
That's why my father put a pool in the backyard.
Hmm.
There were the days before television.
You mean going swimming in the lakes was the days before?
Well, kind of the things we're talking about.
Yeah.
All of the stuff is right before television.
Yeah. Well, I remember our first television.
You remember what?
Our first television.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
This little small box that the entire family came over to watch.
The entire neighborhood.
Yeah, because it was
new and exciting. Yeah, a neighbor on the next block got the first TV in the neighborhood. And that was, it was before Howdy Doody and all that stuff. But I don't remember, but the kids would all go over there and watch. Whatever.
One of the shows I remember very clearly on our first television was Milton Berle.
Yes.
So you must all remember him too.
Sure. That was big time TV.
Yeah.
he was.
Mm-hmm. Uncle Milty.
Uncle Milty,
right?
Yeah.
That's mm-hmm. what he was called.
Yeah. And the Sid Caesar show along the same time.
Uh-huh. Yeah. And when The Lone Ranger was on TV, I was so disappointed because I liked the radio.
Me too.
Because you could use your imagination
uh-huh.
and all that.
Yes.
TV kind of
wiped that out, wiped out the radio.
The Lone Ranger was a complete disappointment to me when I saw him on TV.
Yeah.
Just complete disappointment.
Why? What were you expecting?
I was expecting what I heard on the radio, the sounds and the people were going to look
yeah,
this
well,
way and that way. And it just didn't work out that way. It was just phony baloney.
Yeah.
Even as a kid, I knew that.
Yeah, it was. And Silver and Tonto and Scout was Tonto's horse.
You know, you'd look at the Lone Ranger on the TV and you'd say to yourself, how come nobody could recognize this guy with the mask on? That's
yeah.
ridiculous. And, you know, stuff like that. But on the radio, you didn't care about it because that mask must have hit him some way, mm-hmm. you know. And his faithful Indian companion, Tonto.
Yes.
What a great show that was.
It was. Also, I Love Lucy. That's one of the early television
yeah.
shows, too.
I like Lucy. I've been watching Lucy.
The reruns. I Love Lucy, yeah. She
funny.
Was always funny.
She's
yeah.
goofy.
Yeah.
She was a great comedian.
I agree.
Then they had the Green Hornet. Did he make television or was he just radio?
He was on the Green. He was on TV too, but didn't make nothing of. Didn't make anything on TV. Britt Reed. That was his name, Britt Reed.
Yeah, and who were the other people?
There was Britt Reed's Cato was the
companion
chauffeur.
Oh, there's some show all of you must also remember. How about Flash Gordon?
Oh yeah,
oh,
remember
yeah.
Flash Gordon? You
not
do?
From television. Yeah. I don't remember him.
I remember him on radio.
Oh,
radio.
I only
chapters.
Remember from television.
The chapters they used to have.
Then how
yeah.
old are you?
73.
Okay, I'm 81. So.
So you did the radio thing.
Yeah.
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 Alex, I'm sorry. Did you say you know Flash Gordon?
Yeah, I know Flash Gordon.
Was there a current Flash Gordon now?
There's actually this game. That's based like around. It's not based on Flash Gordon, but the themes in it are like very Flash Gordon, like it's set in like
in space travel.
It's set in like the 50s, and instead of the Cold War, like everyone dropped nukes on each other. That's the premise of the game, where the world is just over because everyone dropped nukes on each other. So it's like the future, but it's like stuck in the 50s, so nothing progressed past the 50s, but there's like ray guns and all this stuff, like in Flash Gordon.
Yeah.
Is there Ming? That Ming was the...
He was the king.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So he's...
Evil. The evil Ming.
So it's like
evil.
You're running around with like a ray gun and like these alien weapons, but
yeah.
you're listening to like Frank Sinatra on the radio. So it's like this weird like... It's like literally set in the time of Flash Gordon with the themes... And the same exact time when Flash Gordon was being like produced too.
There were great chapters that used to be, they used to have with them at the one time. Just great. They did all these phony, you know, phony rocket ships
mm-hmm.
and
yeah.
No, but it was new to us, and it was fun, and it was exciting because you didn't know what was going to happen
yeah.
next week. And I loved the Flash Gordon
yeah.
shows.
Oh
well,
boy.
Who was it? Dick Tracy with the watch?
Yeah, the two wrist ready.
Yeah, that was, I mean...
Sam Ketchum.
That was going to be the big thing in life, two-way radio. It was ahead of his times.
Flash Gordon comics? Is this? Did you guys read the comics, or was it just...
I watched it on television.
Comic. I
don't
no, recall
I don't
the comic books.
I watched it on television. That's
oh,
the, yeah.
okay. Let me see.
Then my sister was a big Howdy Doody fan.
Yeah,
but she's 8 years younger than I am, so that was a big gap.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
But this is probably a remake.
It looks like a remake, but that's what Ming, the evil
Let's
King
see.
Ming, that's what he looked
yeah,
like.
That's good.
Let me see if I can find the original.
Who?
Okay. Is that the original
Ming?
Yeah,
that looks like it might be the original Ming. But where's Flash Gordon? That's Flash Gordon's girlfriend, it looks like, there.
Then go home, clean out your attics, and go to Antique Roadshow. And you know, find out what all these old toys are worth.
I know.
But I never saved any of them.
No, nor did I.
I don't think there was much less to save after you played with them for a few years.
Well, certain things you ended up saving.
Is that Flash Gordon?
I think it
then
is.
Then Barbie dolls
came in at some point.
I
know. They're savers, too, because they're
like
already
the
old. In the middle, right?
That push the crab?
Yes, that's like it does. It does. I know his girlfriend's not in that picture, but that's Ming there.
Oh,
and
is
that
him and his girlfriend?
Yeah. Yeah.
Let me see. That looks like her.
Maybe I'll watch this.
Well, it was a fun show.
Looks like a fun show.
Then, yeah, the television came in after the war, huh?
Yeah.
And we got one. I think Channel 5 was a big time. Dumont Television or something.
Well, you had your basic channels. 2, 4,
yeah.
5, 7.
7
that,
and 9
was,
and
yeah.
11, maybe?
13.
13.
So everyone could watch that, or was that a kids' show?
What?
Flash Gordon.
No, I think, you know, I guess it was for young people. Maybe not young children, but for young people. You know, it's a show that I could see myself enjoying even as an adult. Just like the Tarzan shows. I always loved the Tarzan shows on television. And I could watch them whether I was a kid or as an adult.
Mm-hmm.
I just found it fascinating that people might live like that.
Okay, what's for lunch today?
Yeah, we're actually about to end here. We've been going for 1 hour. That's perfect.
1 hour?
Yeah.
And next week's...
4 to 12.
Plan is...
Next week we're going to be talking about... arts.
The arts, okay.
The arts, yes. So next week's podcast will be the arts. Do you guys want to say anything for an outro?
What is it?
Our next discussion next week is on art.
Thank you, everyone, for joining the Buckingham Podcast. We'll see you again next week.